My heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Normally, the healthiest way for me personally to teach or to preach, those of who are CTKers here are subjected to this a lot, is that what works best for me is for my preaching to flow out of my conversation with the Lord. And so my schedule is arranged, even though I have an extraordinarily busy schedule. The Rector's Council gave me permission some years ago just to chalk out my whole mornings. So I have hours just at the feet of the Lord, just to be with Him. And so usually it's from those conversations. See, prayer is a conversation. It's not a dialogue. I mean, it's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. And most of the time, it's better if God does most of the talking, because He has things to say without us even having to ask the questions that are answers to the things that we're longing for. But what happens is that my personality is such, I can't wait to figure it all out, to then come and tell. I got to tell it what's happening. And so then that's why the conversation, the information or the stuff kind of grows as time goes by, because what I'll say to you today, I'll understand much better 2 months from now, because the conversation will continue until the Lord wants to talk about something else. The other night, sitting on my porch with Luke just opened the window to my heart about something, and I referenced it recently, and I'm going to keep referencing it until I can have the full conversation on a Sunday morning, so the people who come to noon get to hear all the bits of the conversation. And the conversation is just some things, again, about the love of God, because I've been praying in light of you for the CTKers. We've been doing a lot of studying, diving into what it means to be perfected in love. The word is really the word perfected is the word mature. 1 John 4 talks about that a lot, that perfect love casts out fear. And he uses the terminology being perfected in love. Jesus said in John 15 that we're called to abide in love, to remain and to saturate and to live in the environment of the love of God. And he wants us to grow, be perfected in love, because perfect love casts out fear. So just in that continual conversation with the Lord, you know, Luke kind of opened this door for me that just sort of awakened my heart to something. So I've been spending a lot of time. By the way, it was really fun listening to my favorite worship leader in the whole world this morning lead worship. You didn't get here a little bit early, you missed out. I was asking the Lord this question, and in asking Him this question, I was saying to Him, Lord, just using scripture from John 13, when Jesus said that He loved His disciples, therefore it's true about us too, that He loved them till the end. And that's such an encouraging word. And I have not had a really hard time embracing that God, You love me and You're not going to stop loving me. You're going to love me to the end. And there's nothing I can do to cause You to stop loving me. But there's a place in Micah 7:18 that I'm beginning to believe, that I've talked about for several years now, but is so incomprehensible that only the Holy Spirit can convince you of it. And He has to speak it to you again and again, because in our fallenness and the self-rejection and the shame and the guilt that we walk with, it's really hard for us to believe this. He says, for God delights in unending love. He doesn't just love me to the end, He delights in loving me. And I can think of a lot of times when I don't love me myself, when I don't like me very much. So it's really hard for me to own, You delight in loving me, even though my love back towards You is sometimes very imperfect and often very weak and inconsistent. But He just loves, He delights in this love relationship that He and I have. So I ask this question, a simple question. Lord, well, when did You start? When did it start? Like, at what point in eternity past did You think of creating humanity? And at what point in that did You start loving me? Because I know that God has foreknowledge. So I've not had a trouble believing that before the foundation of the world, He loved me. That He had His heart set on me. And that He came and did what He did, got His heel bruised, died on the cross in pursuit of His thirst to have relationship with me. But asking the question, the Lord reminded me of a scripture, and it was from Jeremiah 31. And in Jeremiah 31, 2, the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So I decided, I'll look up what this word everlasting, do some studies in Hebrew about this word everlasting. This is the kind of conversations that the Lord and I have in prayer. And we're talking, I'm talking, but mainly listening. But the word everlasting there in Hebrew means forever in the past and forever in the future. I mean, it has no beginning and there will be no end. And that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for me to understand. It's like thinking about sovereignty and free will at the same time. Which one of them are true? Yes. And so in saying that, the Lord said, well, when I asked the first question, I said, well, when did you start loving me? And I heard it so clearly. The Holy Spirit spoke this word in my heart. He said, the first time I saw you. And I thought, I understood what he was saying. He could see me in his mind's eye, in God's mind's eye. He could see me. And he said, it was love at first sight. And then he took me to that place in Jeremiah, and I realized, well, when did you see me? He said, forever. There's never been a time when I didn't love you with a lovesick heart. And I mentioned to you, I think if you were here yesterday, and I may have Sunday too, that amazing passage from Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God gave a clear demonstration of this weird, incredible, crazy, wild, extraordinary, extravagant, furious love that he has for humanity. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't start loving me when I gave my life to Jesus. He didn't start loving me when I became born again, when I was yet a sinner. He demonstrated his love for us. He's not saying, well, I showed you how much I loved you at the cross. No, he said, I'm demonstrating the kind of love I have. And my love isn't dependent on people's behavior. And this is the scripture that Luke reminded me of, this the one everybody in the world knows, the only verse that everybody who's a real Christian has memorized, God so loved the world. Well, the world's made up of all kinds of lost people. God so loved the whole world and all the people in that world. And he always has. He forever did and forever will. That's extraordinary to me. And if that's true, he's not going to stop loving me. There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. What happens, though, when a person becomes a Christian, even though God so loves every human being, think of the worst one you've heard about in the news lately, every person who's a member of ISIS, he doesn't like what they do. It grieves his heart. If they don't give their life to him, they'll spend an eternity separated from his love. They're separated from his love now, though he loves them. But every lost person can experience his love. They can't enter into a love relationship with him. And that's what he created us for. Not just to be the object of his love, but to have a love relationship with us. God so loved the world. Aren't people in ISIS in the world? Aren't they yet sinners? Yet Christ demonstrated his love for them too, right? But when you become a Christian, here's the cool thing. When you become a Christian, when you are born again, when you receive Jesus into your life, you enter into a love relationship, and God is finally able to pour out his love on you and to bless you and show you favor. Because now, as a Christian, I've received his love, I've accepted his love, and I'm able to love him back. That's why God says, just one glance from your eyes ravishes my heart. I watched the movie Slumdog Millionaire. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. And these two little kids who were in love with each other when they were little bitty children, and they went through all the stuff of separation. It was never going to come to pass. Finally, they were able to have a relationship with each other and how much that meant to them. Just think if you held that kind of love for someone throughout eternity, that there's never been a moment when you weren't in love with that person. Love at first thought. When did God's first thought start? Yeah. And there came a time when that person that he had been in love with forever enters into the love relationship by accepting his love and is now able to love him back. He's actually able to receive and appreciate his love and love him back. No wonder God so delights in his relationship with Christians. Because having loved them forever in the past, they're able to accept it, enjoy it, which means so much to somebody if they're in love with somebody like that, and to respond in love to him in worship and obedience and affection. Now, I don't know if that blows your mind, but that's the gospel. That's the good news. That blows my mind. I don't have to walk around going, well, God, I don't know if you love me enough, or I failed too much. I don't know if you really want to bless me, show me favor. Actually, do you really want to heal me, or if I don't deserve it anymore, Lord? I've kind of put myself in a position where God's going, you kidding me? I so love the world. Now I got you. You've said yes. I want to do everything. Isn't that what it says in Romans? If he spared not his own son to win us for himself, how much more will he with him freely give us all things? Of course he wants to bless you. Because you see, you bring such delight. You're the thing he's longed for throughout eternity. And now you're his. He doesn't have an attitude. He doesn't walk around angry, put out with you. He delights in the fact that you have an unending love relationship with him. He longs for the whole world to do that. Can you imagine what is in his heart every time a person passes an eternity and he'll never have a chance to have a love relationship with them, though he's loved them with an everlasting love? You're the most blessed of all people in all the world. You're the richest people in all the world. We forever should be a source of praise to him. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.